Chapter 3. Sunday Night. He stayed over then? Good!
Aizawa nodded, eyes shut, and rooted deeper into his pillow in the process. He was sprawled out on his futon, with the sheets tangled around his bare legs. Sheets he hadn't bothered to change since having a guest. But he was too inexperienced with both sheets and guests to care. A bed was a bed, and he needed sleep. He rearranged the phone on his free ear, just in time to hear Hizashi sigh on the other end. I probably should have come over, too. I was fucking wired after. Couldn't get to sleep. Yeah, he agreed, simply acknowledging the shitty nature of hypervigilance and the bitterness that came with having supposedly safe spaces invaded. You should have.
I know.
Aizawa considered their situation a moment. Then, feeling exhaustion roll through him at the idea of lying, leaned toward the truth. Told him about the protocol, to get him to stay.
Oh,
Mike whispered, abashed and perturbed and caught all at once. Aizawa could almost hear him compulsively smoothing his mustache on the other line.
Is he, submitting an application for the coping cuddle pile? He better bring a mad spooning game because the guy is all bone.
Aizawa hummed wordlessly, letting the little joke pass. Hizashi talked a big game to make it easier on himself, but didn't really grasp the whole concept and needed every excuse in the world to actually do it. He still had some barriers, issues, shame mostly, or simple unwillingness to admit that what they did was important. It would mean something darker was waiting on the other side. Aizawa was currently too tired to court at all, so he just waited. And after a moment, Mike sighed gustily into the phone.
God, man, I feel like shit.
You know how it gets after the spray, Aizawa murmured, his version of comforting. Namely, lining up factual evidence that explained a mood change and grounded it in reality. He laboriously rolled over, wincing as his back twinged, and caught Hime as she wandered by and herded her into the crook of his arm. She sat up, purring immediately, and he felt his eyes glaze over as he ran his fingernails through her downy, cream-colored cheeks again and again. It's a harsh come-down. Anything that sobers you up that quickly fucks with your brain. But it was necessary.
No, it... you know...
Mike huffed in frustration. The phone clattered against his ear, his glasses.
That too, but I feel bad about all my... Yagi and everything. God, everything about it. What a fucking disaster.
Aizawa closed his eyes. Regret stabbed him through, his body too empty and tired to resist the sting of it in any way. Me too, he agreed, trying not to sound too heavy. He was the logical one, wasn't he? It was a good idea, at least.
Yeah, no, maybe, I don't know.
Mike whined, voice wavering. He sounded like he'd swallowed a cheese grater, probably from using his quirk without his gear, with the added irritation of smoking, and it made Aizawa feel even worse. He could just see Hizashi pressing at his face, wincing, dissolving in his own anxieties, hurting inside and out, but not willing to say so when it really mattered.
Maybe it wasn't his scene. Were we wrong to invite him? Fuck, I guess I just thought...
Aizawa made a noise to show he was listening, but also expected his friend to finish his thoughts. At length, Mike groaned, and a flurry of distorted thumping and shuffling on the other line suggested he had thrown himself into his bed headfirst.
I thought we could be friends,
came his voice, piteously flat and muffled.
But I fucked it up.
You didn't, Aizawa said bluntly, carefully maintaining his rhythmic cat scratching and staring up at the darkening sky behind his bedroom window. A lot of things went wrong, and none of them had to do with you. Even our less responsible decision Would have been fine if those assholes hadn't crashed in. This is all on them, and we took care of it anyway. Mike made a mournful, grumbling noise. One that said he disagreed and was going to hang on to the personalized guilt of this for as long as he so pleased. And Aizawa's frown deepened. His friend wasn't in a place where he could hear sense. That was certain. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day. He'd try again. I'm sure he won't take it personally. The man's too forgiving as it is, he offered. He remembered, as if in a dust-layered dream, Toshinori holding his ground outside his complex and demanding to be treated with respect, and he almost smiled. Progress. Dunno, maybe, Mike sounded, if possible, even sadder at the prospect of being forgiven, and Aizawa officially got annoyed. I think the best thing you can do is act normal, he mumbled, scratching at his chin and blinking hard against the creeping, grainy sting in his eyes. He'd overdone it in the attack as well, but it would have been worse without his capture weapon. He reached for his eye drops, fumbling at the edge of his futon, and enduring a shrill protest from his drowsing kitten for all the terrible world-ending shifting around. All Might is one to blame himself. It's all that time he spent being a martyr. Leave the door open for conversation, sure, but think about it. After you think you fucked something up, would you want the people you were with to start apologizing to you? Ah, Mike replied knowingly. But they both knew his sense of guilt was deeply engraved and would not be toppled by hypotheticals. For exactly that reason, Mike changed the subject. As he squeezed a few blissfully cool drops into each eye, Aizawa made a mental note to avoid the two of them the coming school day, so they had time to work it out. Anyway, he's a good guy. I like him. He can hang with me anytime. Aizawa made a noise to show he'd heard, despite how he was drifting. Mike was really insistent about acknowledgement. It was part of his communication style and validation, and he spiraled very quickly whenever he felt he wasn't being listened to. Aizawa also knew that he still wasn't back to normal if he was cataloging and mentally arranging the needs of those around him, and he bit back a gravelly sigh. Fuck, he needed some good sleep tonight. Was 8 p.m. too early to try? You sure you don't want me over there, Zashi? He mumbled, because he had to start making arrangements. If he was going to successfully excavate himself from his bed and his cat within the next 12 hours. Hizashi made a flat noise, far too quickly for any true consideration of the offer. Nah, I'm good. I'll make it. I'll leave the hall light on and everything, ha! Tired as he was, Aizawa still had one last burst of irritation in him, and the sheer predictability of that exchange made him grit his teeth. It all came down to surviving versus thriving, didn't it? And that came down to fucking machismo, the entrenched self-neglect that masqueraded as pride or dignity. The resources were there, so what amount of pain would it take to make the two hard-headed, idiotically showy heroes in his life willingly reach past their perceived weaknesses for simple help? Sure, was all he said, eyes closing as innumerable kinds of exhaustion rolled over him and weighed his aching, scratched-up body to his futon with delicious finality. Permission to knock out? Permission fucking granted. He could drag both of them to Recovery Girl the next day. No excuses. Look, I know All Might's not your favorite buddy, but maybe we can invite him to some stuff? Mike ventured after a moment, a quiet, honest kind of hopeful, that reminded Aizawa in a rush why he loved the man. He was so good, probably the best hero on staff if it came down to heart. Without, the drugs, or the looming threat of villainy, I mean. Seems like he really appreciates the company. Aizawa smirked a little, curling up and tucking his pillow under his cheek.
He would have to tell Mike eventually, he knew. But such responsible thoughts were derailed when he nosed into his sheets and smelled something warm and vaguely cinnamony. Familiar, but not familiar in his bed. His smirk softened, and he jostled the phone against his ear, curling his fingers into the cool sheets and breathing in more deeply than he would ever admit as Himawari purred and purred and purred against his chest. "Yeah," he murmured, feeling uncommonly unafraid. "Maybe." The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!